Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to the day after the day of days. Welcome to the middle of the week. It's hump day, so we still got to follow our tradition. Let's play some Camel and then we'll talk. Go ahead, man.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Yes, it is. It is halfway to the weekend, you guys. We are halfway to the weekend, but more than anything, we are all the way through the election. How about that? We got some states that are still dangling out there, but you know what? They're just going to be icing on the cake. Right now, it is a mighty fine day, a mighty, mighty fine day, and JP is working the board. How you doing, buddy?
Doing good, and we also got a text in that we should call today Trump Day instead of Hump Day.
Call it Trump Day instead of Hump Day. I like it. All right, well, good enough. You got enough caffeine over there?
Oh, yeah. I've been good.
It was a good night. So for those of y'all that tuned in last night, we really appreciate it. Right Side Media, we had our very first ever live stream from the new Right Side podcast studio. Had a great time. It was myself and JP and Butters and Birdman. And we had some folks that were, you know, kind of hanging around with us last night, too. The lovely Charlene being one. But we were here till we planned on 2 hours, and then we had people texting in saying, don't stop. So we kept going until another half hour after that, two and a half hours.
I believe we were able to get North Carolina called while we were on the stream. So we had a key battle ground state, and then we missed Georgia by about an hour. But, you know, still.
Well, Georgia, I don't know what they were waiting on. 99.9% of the vote is in, but we're not ready to call it yet. Too close to call. No, it wasn't. It was a great – anyway, it was a good night, y'all. We'll talk about all of that here in a moment. We got a great show laid on for you. 4 o'clock today, it is hump day. So the Grand Council with Jeff Poore and Dale Jackson comes at 4 o'clock. Stand by for that one, Grand Council. And then I've got a triple dipper, and you can imagine all the topics. Just hit it, man.
The Triple Dipper. 3 stories you've got to know.
That's right, the Triple Dipper. 3 stories, 3 themes, if you will, that you got to know as we run today's show. First out the gate, number 1, Triple Dipper. I'm just calling it the sweep. The sweep. I mean, y'all, we're looking at right now, not only was this a repudiation of the Democrat machine, but oh, by the way, it appears that Trump has taken the entire Electoral College vote, for the most part, not entire, but taken the majority of the Electoral College vote and also won the popular vote. That is huge. So we'll talk about the sweep as number 1 on the Triple Dipper. Number 2, the aftermath. So now what? What comes next? Who's going to be in the cabinet? What are they going to do? What kind of things could happen on the world stage? We'll talk about the aftermath and where we're going from here. And then number 3 on the Triple Dipper, I'm just calling it states' rights because there were other elections that really mattered. Did you know that we actually picked up more Republican governors last night? Yeah, we did. I mean, there were things that happened on ballot issues in states and in state house races that were equally cool. We'll talk about all of it. Number 3 on the Triple Dipper, I'm just calling it states' rights. All right, well, let me jump into today's Right Side Way opening monologue. And I got to say, last night was an epic night. It just was. I mean, there's no other way to describe it. If you're a political junkie, absolutely. If you're a conservative talk show guy, absolutely. But I think for America, it was an epic night with an epic result because epic turnout by Americans to vote for something better than what they had is what occurred. And we found out on the night, which is awesome. It was not just a win, y'all. Let it sink in that for all practical purposes, we appear to have taken both the popular vote and the Electoral College vote. We have flipped the Senate, we'll likely retain the House, and we have gained seats in governor's races, picked up new voters from minority groups who saw the light, and became known once again as the party of the working man. Last night was a complete and total repudiation of the liberal progressive agenda. So my friends, take today and bask in the moment. Don't spend too much time gloating, though, because now the real fight begins. Donald Trump and J.D. Vance, they will now assemble their team and begin to do the work that we've given them the opportunity to do, work that they had better be doing. Okay, let me walk down memory lane here. I'm going to make a point, and then I'll come back to my overall discussion. But memory lane, you ready? How many of y'all watched the classic movie, The Dirty Dozen? Great movie. Lee Marvin, Jim Brown, Donald Sutherland, Charles Bronson, Ernest Borgnine. I mean, golly, what a cast. It was a classic all-call of action characters in a classic manly man movie. Kind of like the newest version of the action genre doing the same thing these days called The Expendables with Sylvester Stallone and a whole crew. The storyline was set in World War II. Lee Marvin, taking a bunch of outcasts and convicts and misfits from a military prison, forming them into an elite commando unit. Sort of like the Suicide Squad, if you get down to it. Because they were designed for a suicide mission, deep behind German lines. Each man knew they had a mission to accomplish, and if they failed, they went back to prison. So basically, the men of the Dirty Dozen had to fight like their life depended on it. So I bring up the Dirty Dozen movie because there was one particular scene that I want to talk about. There was a situation in the movie where there was this kind of highbrow army colonel who got wind that a top secret group was coming onto his base. He was told he couldn't ask questions. He was told the group contained a high-ranking general. Well, the colonel just couldn't contain himself, so he stopped the trucks and he asked for the general to please inspect his top unit who were standing there in formation, all spit and polished by the side of the road. The Dirty Dozen, they didn't have any generals. They were all rough around the edges, unshaven, their uniforms looked awful. But not knowing what else to do, the leader of the Dirty Dozen told Donald Sutherland's character, who was a complete nut job, by the way, to pretend that he was a general, traveling incognito just to inspect the troops. Walk the line, don't say anything, and let's get out of here. Well, yeah, it didn't quite go that way. Now, he played the part for a few minutes, you may remember, until he finally stopped, looked at the arrogant colonel in his dress uniform and said, "Well, they're very pretty, Colonel, but can they fight?" Which caused the whole rest of the Dirty Dozen to fall into fits of laughter at the prima donnas that were standing there in the formation. Here's the thing. I tell you that story because we don't need Trump to bring in a bunch of very pretty soldiers. We need a Dirty Dozen or more who will get the job done like their lives depend on it. That's what we need. You see, we are not done. In military parlance, it is time for us now to prepare for the counterattack. In every force-on-force confrontation, there is always key terrain. 19th century Prussian general Karl von Clausewitz, he wrote a seminal classic called On War, and Clausewitz's treatise on warfare lays out truths about strategy, tactics, decision-making, leadership, but among other factors, he extols the virtues of key terrain, describing it as one of the constant factors in any engagement. So you have to first seize the key terrain to win the battles, and y'all, last night was not a battle per se. Last night was us taking the key terrain. We are now sitting on the high ground. We took the ground that allows us to fight. We seized the high ground that gives us a commanding position on the battlefield. Do not lose sight of that fact. Last night was not the actual battle. Last night was merely the right seizing the key terrain so that we can fight the left in battles from a position of strength. But here's the thing. As a young infantry officer, I was always taught that once you seize the key terrain on a battlefield, you have to dig in, fortify, stockpile, reorganize. You don't rest right away. You catch your breath and then you prepare for the enemy to counterattack. You see, the enemy wants the same terrain that we hold now. The enemy wants to fight from the White House and Congress and the Senate as surely as we do. The enemy knows all about key terrain. And since we now hold it, we have to make sure that we don't just have pretty soldiers who look good in pretty uniforms. We need some scrappers. We need some fighters. Some people who will get busy and get dirty and get mean if they have to. We need folks who will take the key terrain that we have fought for and use it to our advantage to win the war. So how do we do that? Well, Army doctrine teaches that stifling the enemy's ability to counterattack and take back our key terrain involves several things. Disruption, flexibility, concentration of power, preparation, and security. We have to immediately begin doing what we can to disrupt the rabid liberal leftist efforts to regain control. We do that by communicating well with each other, appointing conservative judges to uphold the laws, passing strong conservative legislation, making sure our economy grows again as proof of our position. We have to be able to pivot to their attacks and not become myopic in our views, only seeing certain things with blinders on. We got to find their weak points, concentrate our efforts for quick wins, while also developing a long game strategy to preserve our principles. And we have to keep our leaders secure. Because honestly, Trump and Vance especially, they are now at physical risk of actual attack on their lives for merely working through the democratic process. But to do all of that, we have to have a team of fighters. A team that is not just a bunch of pretty soldiers who look good in pretty uniforms. Now, Trump has assembled quite a crew. He has folks on stage with him that will likely be in his cabinet or at least by his side. J.D. Vance, Elon Musk, RFK Jr., Vivek Ramaswamy, Tulsi Gabbard. These are folks who have proven their ability to lead large organizations or to buck the norms and push back on apathetic leadership. These are potentially reformers. And there will be more. We don't know who will join the cabinet, but I could see folks like Doug Burgum, Ron DeSantis, Tom Cotton, Marco Rubio, Ted Cruz, all potentially taking a seat at the table. And there will likely be a strong group that will have the opportunity, through Trump's efforts to gain the office, to appoint at least one, maybe two, Supreme Court justices. And that could solidify our legal positions on life, liberty, and property for generations to come. Look, the team they assemble is going to have to consist of senators and congressmen who are also willing to work for the people and for the cause of conservative constitutional principles and not just be pretty and work toward their own re-elections. And there will be allies in the broad spectrum. And one of those allies now is going to be more conservative media. Conservative media is absolutely on the rise. The mainstream media has proven its inability to be other than pretty. Look, I predict that conservative outlets like Right Side will have a new and increased opportunity for bringing truth and accountability. But the question, though, is not just the who in terms of the dirty dozen on the team. It's also the what. You don't just sit in the defense and brace for the counterattack. You see, seizing key terrain means you do have a place from which to launch your offensive, to go attack the enemy. In our case, we need to attack the enemy immediately and see our borders secured, a plan for removing masses of illegal immigrants from our communities. We need to see a plan for growing our economy that puts the U.S. back into a position of world strength. We need a military filled with warriors and leaders who will love this country and are willing to sacrifice for it. We need to exert energy dominance and develop a plan for all of the above use of great assets that we have. American citizens also need to know that the sanctity of the family and faith and property will be respected and defended because that's the core of who we are. All of that and more is before us, and all of that is worth fighting for. So yeah, last night was huge, y'all. It was huge. No denying it. So catch your breath, hug some necks, slap some backs, and relish the moment. But last night was not the full battle. Last night, we just seized some key terrain. Now we need a team who will not just be pretty, but they will fight. A team who will preserve us for generations to come as a force for good and a city on a hill. So first we regroup, and then we take the dirty dozen and we go pick a fight like our lives depend on it. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Yeah, absolutely. Watching who Trump puts in his cabinet, watching who he relies upon as czars and senior advisors is going to be a big deal. And it's not just the who, is going to be the what. What are they going to accomplish? Now that we have the key terrain, what are we going to do with it? Big doings, y'all. Big doings. Hug some necks, slap some backs, shake some hands. Let's get busy. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, saving the world one soundbite at a time. I don't know about you guys, but I'm taking in extra caffeine today. Just saying. I got my cup of coffee in here right now, and I made it a little bit bigger than usual. Just saying. I had that extra caffeinated beverage. Text lines are blowing up, JP. I mean, like, I already can't keep up. There's got to be 25 or 30 in the queue right now.
We had about 10 before the show even started. The ruffians are ready to go.
The ruffians are ready to go. I love hearing that phrase. We had to put that on a T-shirt. David from Bucky's, who was texted in last night, by the way, says, Phil, after last night, it appears the Republican Party has a new mandate. Will that cave into tears? Will that cave into tears if the minority and fail to pull back up? I'm not sure what he's saying. I'm getting... Brother, I think you're voice texting to me, and it ain't coming through.
Yeah.
I guess what he's saying is, are they going to cave in?
Yeah.
Is that what I'm gathering?
Yeah.
All right. They better not. That's part of our job is to hold them accountable. So let's just stay on it. Missy from Fayetteville, amen, Brother Phil. I pray that the good Lord, above all, is giving us another chance to bring this country back to him, even though we may not deserve it. I believe we must unite back to a Christian nation in order to save it from the downward spiral we're on. May God continue to bless this country. Missy, thank you. And, you know, I'll be honest, we cannot acquiesce. And there's a bunch I know out there who never once acquiesced. And And yet there were any number of things that were allowed to happen because a vote went a certain way and evil felt empowered. But we have been given a second lease on the life of this country, and I am looking forward to seeing it go good directions. Brand new texter in the text line, Jim from Athens. He says, first time texting, been listening a long time while on a tractor or a mower. Says, love your values. I feel last night was a wake-up call for America, especially for the left. They got it handed to them. Love it, Jim in Athens. They did, man. This is like an old-fashioned, like, take them to the woodshed spanking. Just laid it on. And, wow. I mean, right now we're looking at y'all. I mean, think about what this means. Not only the popular vote, but the electoral vote. Not only did we win the Sun Belt, but we also won the Blue Wall. The Blue Wall. The Blue Wall, they called it. They called it that for a reason. When you got the Rust Belt states like Pennsylvania and Wisconsin and Michigan, they announced Michigan just a little while ago, like, what, an hour or so ago?
Yeah, a couple hours ago.
Yeah. I mean, that is so huge I can't even begin to describe. It's just unreal. I got a phone call real quick I'll take before I go to the break. Brian from Huntsville. Hey, buddy, how you doing?
Doing okay. Greetings on a day of hope.
Absolutely.
Now we
man.
Need to follow up. And I like your Dirty Dozen references and everything. And something on top of that, you remember there was another character in there you didn't mention, Telly Savalas.
Oh, yeah.
And he was kind of off to begin with, and he proved it in the end. And based on the picks that for all the men to go in, I'm wondering if he might be a little bit like a enlisted version of Machine Gun Kelly. A little bit off, and he proves himself wrong in the end.
Well, you know, the more reason for us to pick the right team, though, right? Don't just let anybody on there. Vet them and make sure they're right.
And I really think Donald Trump, President Trump, I think he's got a better feeling of who to select for those positions than he did when he selected people for industry.
Yeah, I would agree.
Good luck with the day, folks.
Thank you, brother. Thanks. See you. I would agree with that. I think that Trump has he's got a different level of wisdom and experience to bring to this go round. He's had time to pursue a team as opposed to just put one together at the last minute. I say last minute after winning the election in 2016. He doesn't have to do it on the fly. He's got months now, and I guarantee you some of them are already prepared. All right, we're going to talk about a lot more. We got all kinds of stuff to talk about. First Dipper, the sweep, we'll be talking about it. It's good. And y'all, the liberal meltdown is just kind of enjoyable, to be honest. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here. This one, I'm talking about Alabama, y'all. Alabama. And I mean to say, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Text lines are still blowing up. Y'all are madness today. Madness, I tell you. 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. 833-68-RIGHT. Call it or text it. Same number for both. By the way, I got to tell you, we got a new thing going, and quite a few of y'all signed up last night. But if you would like to start getting a brand new daily email newsletter that we're sending out, it's called the Right Side Report. It'll tell you what's coming on the shows, what the guests are going to be, give you links to the latest podcasts, all the stuff that we got going on at Right Side. Because remember, we're more than Right Side Radio. It's Right Side Media. That's the company. But anyway, the daily Right Side Report will start going out right where it's going out now. If you'd like to sign up, that text line that we have, all you got to do is text the word newsletter. It's one word, newsletter. To that, and it will automatically get you signed up, and we'll send you an invite and put you right in. So we'd love to get you in the mix. If you want to text the word newsletter to 833-68-RIGHT, you will get into the queue for the daily Right Side Report that we're sending out. Butters is in charge of that piece, by the way. Butters is our digital guy, and does a great job. He's just recently redesigned our website, which looks great, by the way. And he's got our daily email blast prepared. So I see him dropping in already, man. They're dropping in as we speak. Good Lord.
Wow.
Holy cow. All right.
Thank you.
Keep track, brother. Keep track. All right. Listen, we got plenty going on today, and the text lines are showing that y'all are fully engaged. I tell you, let me get a couple of these real quick. Bo from Coleman says, best hump day in 4 year hump day. Call it Trump Day. LOL. I agree. Jenny from Decatur said, did the woman Republican running for the new district that opened up in Alabama win? No, she did not. No, she did not. And she lost by about 6 points, I believe.
Which is still pretty. I mean, if you look at the new district that was drawn for it, she had an upward fight for it. And I think it was a lot closer than the Democrats would have liked.
Yeah.
So
I would agree with that. And Caroline Dobson, she did not win. She's a great candidate. But anyway, she did not. So we are now going to be a 5-2 congressional delegation with five Republicans, two Democrats. And that's the first time in decades it's been like that. Newsletters are popping in all over. Listen, man, can you keep up? Can you keep up? Can you keep up? Because they keep coming in.
Trying my best.
All right, yeah, you want to be on the Right Side Report, just text the word newsletter to the to 833-68-RIGHT, and we'll get you in the queue. Okay, let me jump on a few things. JP, I'm going to be calling for, we got multiple audio clips that I want to use. Let's talk about what's happened in the last 12 hours. Is it that? Not even that. We have 12 hours. I don't know about y'all, but I stayed up most of the night. I mean, I'm sitting here fueled by caffeine and adrenaline, all right? But I'm a junkie for this stuff. We did our live stream. I guess I got home somewhere around 11. Put my comfy clothes on, sat back down on the couch, kept watching. Somewhere in there, I began to doze after midnight. And next thing I know, I wake up at 1:30 and Trump's walking out on stage to give a acceptance speech. I was like, yes. But that's the middle of the night. And then, you know, got up and got the show ready. My favorite headline, there's been a few. I mean, the memes are madness right now. And I think my favorite headline is Babylon Bee. I mean, how can you miss with this? You ready for this? Brace yourselves. Headline, America unburdens itself from what has been. That's so good. Sources say the unburdening could lead to unprecedented levels of imagining what can be. I love the B. But listen, you know, on a more serious note, you know, one of the things that really galls me is watching leaders take their folks for granted. Because it's not leadership at that point, in my opinion. It's entitlement. It's like I'm the one in charge. Don't you understand who I am? That's what I've seen in Kamala Harris. I mean, I've seen it in Biden too, but Kamala Harris has never led anything in her entire life. And yet she was vying for the opportunity to be the commander in chief, to be the leader of the free world. Last night, one of the clear indicators that she was never supposed to be the one in that job, never, occurred when she did not even bother to go out and talk to her supporters. I don't know if y'all saw this or not. I saw it happen live and I thought, that is just absolutely tasteless, tacky, and, you know, this a complete dereliction of duty. So, story I picked up off of Red State, just to give you some descriptions of it. President Donald Trump won in resounding fashion in a historic, decisive comeback. In the face of everything, he spoke to his supporters in Florida, thanked everyone for who had helped, including the millions of American people. So what happened with Kamala Harris and her team? Well, she had folks waiting at the watch party at Howard University for hours. Then she never even bothered to show up. She had her co-chair, Jen O'Malley Dillon, announce telling everyone to go ahead and go home to the morning. They refused to make any comments to the press. And then, just like John Podesta did with Hillary Clinton back in 2016, Hillary Clinton made it known she did not want to even talk to her supporters until sometime the next day. She is actually scheduled to make a speech here in the next 20 or so minutes at Howard University again. She did apparently call President Trump and concede in the last few hours. We understand, too, from a news report that just happened that Joe Biden even called Donald Trump. But the fact that she had people who had gone to bat for her, who had worked for her, who had knocked on doors and canvassed and made phone calls and given money and their time and all of it, the fact that she did not even walk out to say, thank you, I love you for everything you've done, you are much appreciated, never did it. She just went to bed and cried, I guess. I don't know. But to me, that is a clear indication that she was never supposed to be in charge, ever. What would it have been like? What would all of us have been like had she had the opportunity to carry that kind of attitude into the Oval Office? We would have been secondary. There would have been no consideration of us. There would have been all consideration about how she feels and what she needs. And don't they understand who she is? It was her time. Well, I got news. We dodged a major bullet. A major bullet. It has gotten better, though, because Trump's Republican win appears to be accompanied by a 52-48 now Republican majority. Now, we did just see a minute ago that we did not get the Michigan seat that was being run by Mike Rogers, although it is within 0.3%. So it's literally so close that I imagine there's going to be an automatic recount, but the indications are right now they're calling that race. It's on the left screen for CNN right now. They're calling that race. They are good gosh, they are only 16,000 votes apart in the entire state of Michigan. That's unbelievable.
Nevertheless, though, still the majority flip for Republicans. So yeah. Although that doesn't, you know, change any of that, it's still a tight race.
It was a seat previously held by a Democrat, wasn't it? Yeah. So 52-48 majority now for the U.S. Senate. And then we appear to have added three seats to our House of Representatives majority, although there are still 51 races that have not been called yet because they involve places like Arizona, Nevada, parts of Michigan, a few others that are so close they're having to do recounts. 51 races nationwide out of 435 total. So what that basically means is we're not done yet, all right? We do believe the indications are that it will be hard for the Democrats to take a majority in the House. And what that means is for the next 2 years, if we can take it, that Trump will have the benefit of pushing his agenda forward through a House and Senate that is allegedly friendly to his cause. It also means, y'all, and this is a big deal, it also means that we have the ability to not only see his confirmations go through pretty quickly for his cabinet and all of it, but that we will have the ability to basically appoint and replace Supreme Court judges. There's a real belief that a couple of them are very likely going to retire. The conservative justices now feel like they probably can if they want to, giving Trump plenty of time to get into office and be able to confirm a replacement to secure a conservative wing of the court. It's a whole new day, you guys. By the way, a couple things that I think are really significant. This is part of the slap down. A couple of pieces that are not being talked about. Take note of this. Number one, Republicans took a Democratic-held district in the Congress that includes Scranton, Pennsylvania, which is Joe Biden's hometown. There's that. That's kind of fun. You may look at it and go, okay, but he calls himself a Delaware guy now. Yeah, but he always talks about how my dad would say Joey while I grew up in Scranton. You know, Scranton, Pennsylvania, Scranton, PA. Anyway, Joe Biden's hometown, Republicans picked it up in the Congress. The other thing that I think is really key is that Donald Trump, J.D. Vance, just won Minnesota. Oh, wait, who's the governor of Minnesota? Tim Walz. He did not even carry his own state. Can you imagine? He now has to go home and govern, not only as the guy who was willing to leave because the big job called, but he's also the guy that couldn't even carry his own state. I don't know what they thought when they were bringing him on. I think there's buyer's remorse on the Democrat side. They're trying to find blame, and they're finding blame in Tim Walz right now.
Well, that Minnesota didn't end up going for Kamala Harris.
It did?
Yeah.
Oh, whoa. But, did it really?
Yeah, but closer than maybe it
should have been. Oh, shoot. I read that wrong. I thought we had Minnesota.
No, that would have been great, though.
That would have been awesome. Well, I got to backtrack my whole last 3 minutes. Okay. Well, that was fun while it lasted.
But, yeah, like I said, I think it was a little bit closer than they would have liked for it to be.
Well, nonetheless, okay, he barely carried his own state. How about that? Yeah. That's what I was looking at, I guess. Dang. All right, well, listen, we're going to take a break. We'll take that break. We'll come right back. Whew, I'll get the rest of it right. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. You guys, stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Making common sense like a superpower. Text lines are going bananas. You want to join our daily newsletter, The Right Side Report? Just text the word newsletter, all one word, newsletter, to 833-68-RIGHT. That's 833-687-4448. That's our number. Text the word newsletter, and we'll get you squared away. It'll send you a link. You can sign right up. I got to tell you, some interesting things have happened. Like not the least of which, Steve from Huntsville reminds me, Auburn students rolled Toomer's Corner last night. Nice. Well played. Absolutely. I got a brand new texter in the line. Where'd she go? Hang on a second. I saw it. It was scrolled down. New texter here, Lee from Jasper, says, now I wish the celebs that said they'd leave the country if Trump wins would just actually go, starting with The View. Did anybody watch The View today?
I saw some clips.
Pray tell, how did that go, JP?
It was a lot of coping. And it was a lot of, it was not Kamala, you know, they said Kamala did a flawless campaign. It's the racist and sexist Americans' fault.
So, oh, the racist, the sexist, the misogynist.
Which, according to Joe Scarborough, too, came on today and said that black men are racist because black men did not vote for a black woman.
Wait, black men are racist?
Yeah.
Whatever. Okay, so let's talk about some of this. I'm going to call for audio clip number two. That's Jonathan Capehart, who is just a squishy little soft man who was on PBS in a panel trying to bring some sense to understand what's just happened. And he's got a theory on why this is. Go ahead and play clip number two.
I come to elections with a sense of humility. Simply because, you know, polls don't vote, people vote. And so in elections, we finally get to hear what the American people have to say. And I've come to this election with an open mind, and I want to know what the American people have to say. What was it, 6 hours ago, I was mystified by what was going on. And now I can't help but think that if this election seems to be, if it proves out that the millions of people who are watching Fox News, if that ends up being the case, then I can't help but wonder if the American people have given up on democracy.
What?
Simply because
Stop. Squishy little soy boy thinks that because he lost the race, it means that there's just millions of people who have given up on democracy. I look at this and go, come on, dude, this was democracy. That's what this was.
He literally just said that this was an opportunity for the American people to voice their opinion. And then just because they didn't vote for the candidate he wants, they're giving up on democracy.
I mean, this is, by the way, this kind of rationalization is what we're seeing all over the place. The left is having a completely breakdown with reality right now. They don't know how to face where they are. They're trying to figure out what in the world, there's got to be an explanation. The interesting thing is very few of them say the truth. What they will say is, it was this problem or it was that. They never once say we screwed up because we overreached on our liberal progressive agenda.
And I'll say this too. I've seen some people ridiculously say that because, you know, Republicans are stupid and they were swayed by Fox News and the, you know, Republicans have a good way of twisting the narrative as if they're acting oblivious of how the mainstream media and their bias played into this election. I mean, they literally were calling Trump Hitler not too long ago. They were comparing his MSG rally to a Nazi rally that was held there. Joy Reid compared him to, you know, Mussolini, Hitler, you know, all these dictators. If you're acting like mainstream media and their bias did not try to sway this election to the left, and now that Trump won, it's all these stupid Republicans are listening to Fox News and they're letting them sway their minds, and you know they're twisting democracy as if literally every other mainstream media news outlet besides Fox News was, you know, trying to sway this for the Democrats. So it's really, you know, rich for me to see that. It's completely out of touch with reality.
It is rich, and it is also rich to watch it happen.
Yeah.
I am loving the fact that everything you just described, they got it handed to them because they did it.
Exactly. It backfired on them.
It just backfired in the biggest way.
They realize they don't have as much control as they thought they did.
We got multiple text messages. I'm about to go to a break. When we come back from the break, I'm going to be playing you an audio clip from Jen Psaki herself. She worked in the White House. She doesn't understand She can't even see it. Don't they know? Well, okay, we'll figure it out. John from Huntsville, Texas, has felt like I got a funny feeling Democrats are about to steal the election. They can't. It's already over. Is that from last night? We got a brand new one. Bordeaux from Harvest says the crazies were held at bay in the spirit realm because of so many true believers in Jesus the Messiah praying in the Holy Ghost. I agree. I think there was a lot of spiritual warfare that was going on here. And Bordeaux, thanks for joining us. Welcome to the text lines.
And thanks for joining the newsletter as well.
And thanks for joining the newsletter as well. Danny from Madison says, my favorite headline last night was from the New York Slimes. He says, Trump wins by large margin. That had to hurt them to write it. I would guess so. I would guess it did. I wonder what the Washington Post said. I need to look back and see. Washington Post. You know, they're probably thinking, if we had just been allowed to endorse Kamala, it might have swayed the election. Nah, it would have meant you'd also, you know, lost a couple other states like Illinois. All right, all said and done, it's been huge. We got more on this. What are the libs saying? We'll tell you. We got some clips you're going to want to hear. We got some things you're going to want to think about. And then we'll move into Dipper number two and talk about where we go from here next. All right. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Welcome to hour number two on Trump Day. Not Hump Day, but Trump Day. Coming up at the top of the next hour, we will have the Grand Council. And let me just remind you guys, too, that Right Side Media is the company. We do a lot of stuff. And the latest edition of the Right Philosophy video podcast is out as of now, I believe. Am I right, JP?
That's correct. Went out at 11 a.m. this morning, and they can find it on the website or on YouTube, on the Right Side Media YouTube page. It's up there as well.
Okay. Right Philosophy video podcast is there for the taking. Go take a look at it. We're really proud of it, and it's just one of several. We got two more that we're about to announce pretty soon, but nonetheless, Right Philosophy, latest edition, out right now. I'm going to go to the phones in just a minute, but I got to tell you, so talking about the way that libs are reacting, The View, listen. I doubt they're going to allow Trump to have a visit on The View anytime soon. But Sonny Hostin has the most unbelievable, and yet I think she believes it, statement about why the election went the way it did. Sonny Hostin, today on The View, had a complete meltdown. She blamed it all on cultural resentment. What? Yes. She says, I was so hopeful that a mixed-race woman married to a Jewish guy could be elected president of the country. And I think it had nothing to do with policy. I think this was the referendum of cultural resentment in this country, she lamented. All right, let me make sure that we just go back to what she just said. She wanted a mixed-race woman married to a Jewish guy. And then she says she didn't get elected. It had nothing to do with policy. She wasn't choosing her candidate based on policy. She was choosing her candidate based on identity politics. She was choosing her candidate based on whether it was a mixed race woman married to a Jewish guy, and then she wants to blame us for not going after Kamala's policies when she herself admits she was choosing it based upon her intersectionalities.
Yeah, and I hope that's something the Democratic Party self-corrects. You know, I saw Kevin O'Leary on the Fox News panel last night after Trump had won, talking to the Democrat on the panel, I can't remember his name, saying that this is actually a good thing for your party because now hopefully you come back to the center a little bit and realize, you know, the way the radical left is right now, it's so out of touch that if they want any chance of winning an election from here on out, they're going to have to self-correct and come back to the center a little bit.
Yeah, you don't want to have a circus. You don't keep bringing in the clowns. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Just stop the freak show and let's get back on the train of reality. All right, let me go to the phones real quick because I see that Jeff Rowe from Indiana is on the line. Jeff Rowe, how you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good, man. A whole lot better than I had was 4 years ago anyway.
Outstanding. I mean, did you stay up and watch the results come in or did you just wake up in the morning to see what happened?
No, I woke up this morning and I seen that Trump had won. And then it was kind of a strange day, though, because I went in to take the dogs out to go to the bathroom, and then I come back in the house. I was soaking wet. I mean, we wasn't scheduled to have any rain in Indiana or anything, so I got and went to got my phone and looked at my weather app, And I was right. We wasn't supposed to have any rain, but apparently there was a flood of Democrat tears.
Jeffro.
It was so bad. Democrats living in low-lying areas, I heard they had to call out the Cajun Navy to rescue them.
What do you do, you know? I mean, liberal tears flooding the streets and valleys and backwoods of America. Just inundating us. Holy cow.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, the water was getting deep, man. The water was getting deep.
So when you got up this morning and checked to see what happened, what's the first source you went to check and see what happened?
My wife, because she thinks that I'm watching.
You're a wise man.
Drop one. Yeah.
You're a wise man. I'm sitting here dosing on caffeine, but it's been good. It's been fun to watch. But I'll tell you what though, Jeff, and I say it with all sincerity, now's when the work really begins. Now we got to take what we've been given, this opportunity for a fresh breath of air, and we have got to make the most of it.
Especially since we got the House and the Senate.
Yeah.
But it's like I say, I hope we don't, I hope we didn't elect a bunch of rhinos or have enough rhinos in there to upset the apple cart, because, we need to get something done this time. And if Trump unfeathered with a good Congress and everything, this country can be saved, because we's on the path of destruction and where we's going. And I'm still worried about, our overspending and everything. It's going to cripple us and everything whenever you your interest on your debt is more than you're spending on the military.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's hard to have national security when you're so in debt you can't pay for the security. Brother, more to come. But listen, I'm stoked. I'm relieved. I am impressed. And I am also now ready to see the rest of us try to hold their feet to the fire. And I don't think we're going to have much trouble with that. I think for at least the first couple of years, it's going to be game on, get as much done as we can. And we're going to have to cheer them on and tell them when they've done it right. And I'm hoping that we will see exactly what they've said they would do, because they're going to have the tools to do it.
Yeah, I think this term's cabinet is going to look much different than
yes,
the first one.
I agree.
At least it better look a lot different, because
yeah.
I mean, they and everybody that's been basically after him, like the FBI, heads of the FBI, CIA, and everything. I imagine they're having a very bad day.
I'm going to go ahead and predict that in the next 60 days, there are going to be top level bureaucrats that are going to be dropping their retirement papers. What do you bet?
I'm just wondering how much evidence is going to be destroyed between now and the first of the year.
Yeah.
Because,
you hear that loud buzzing noise? That's the sound of millions of shred machines running right now as we speak.
You better believe it.
All right, man. Be safe on the road, all right?
Have a good one, Phil.
We'll see you, buddy.
Thank you.
Take care. Tim from Madison texted in and says, Jeffro, liberal tears caused a landslide? Just a thought. I don't know what he's saying.
He's talking about, the liberal tears probably caused the landslide of an election.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. John from Huntsville says, they say Harris is about to give a concession speech, but I think something else is about to happen. Well, John's got a bad ooky feeling
going
on.
He's pessimistic. Listen, the landslide like this, she has nothing. She's no option but to concede. If it had taken all week for us to find out Trump won, like 2020 took all week to find out if Biden won, maybe it'd be different. But man, it was a landslide. They don't have any other option but to concede.
Yeah, I think that's true. And we already know that she's already called and offered her concession call.
Yeah.
And conceded the race in reality. Red from Tony, Alabama says, we must continue to pray for this country and our leaders through this administration. Yes, we should, Red. And I'm going to say, let's not just pray for their productivity. Let's pray for their safety. Make sure that we pray for their safety, because there's already been two attempts on Trump's life while he was campaigning. And the reality is that's not something that should be taken lightly ever, but all the more so because they've already tried it twice in the last, several months. We have got to make sure that he's in a position of security and safety and has the ability to get into the job. By the way, we're watching the news right now here in studio. Vice President Kamala Harris is set to speak at Howard University to a large crowd of her followers.
I think they just showed two Trump fans there with a MAGA flag in the crowd.
Did they really?
Yeah.
Oh, God almighty.
Man.
Brian from Decatur says, it's amazing what happens when five swing states don't stop their vote count the exact same time and then pull ballots out from underneath the tables. Yes. Yes, it is. Funny how we didn't have massive gas leaks. We didn't have Secretary of State's changing the last-minute rules. We didn't have ballot boxes being stuffed with huge amounts of, you know, found ballots. So all said and done, it did have a different feel. I was pleased to see that we were not looking at a ton of controversy. I mean, there's always going to be the one-off. There's always going to be the machine that doesn't work and they have to get it back online. There's always going to be the someone said I got turned away at the polls. There's always going to be – that happens in every election. And I'm not minimizing it. What I'm saying is what we didn't see it was a systemic problem. We didn't see states with, you know, complete mud on their shoes and egg on their face. So, yay. John from Lexington, South Carolina says, no matter how good yesterday's outcome was, we are still stuck with Senator Adam Schiff. I did see that. Pencil neck guy got elected.
And Pelosi.
And, well, we knew Nancy Pelosi
yeah,
would.
But still, I'd like to tie that together if I wish they would move on.
Yeah. And then Birch from New Hope says, you beat me to it. I think he was talking about me talking about the prayer for safety. I've got a clip that we haven't played yet. How long is that clip with Jen Psaki, the clip one?
Just 20 seconds.
Yeah, you know, let's do that. Let's do this before the break. Jen Psaki used to work in the Biden administration as the press secretary before Karine Jean-Pierre took over. She's got some thoughts, and they're a little histrionic. Go ahead and play it.
I think this is a big, huge, huge part of the story that it's hard to even digest fully at this moment. But you have Elon Musk, who owns Twitter, X, whatever we're calling it these days, X, who is a disinformation propagandist and now has a direct, could potentially have a direct line to the Oval Office.
He's a disinformation propagandist. This is the woman, by the way, who used to be the disinformation propagandist for the Biden administration. That was her job, was to be the disinformation propagandist extraordinaire. How many times did she say, we'll circle back, we'll circle back, yeah, we'll circle back, we'll circle back?
And it's almost like Elon created community notes to fight disinformation.
Funny how that works.
Yeah.
Just funny how that works. All right, listen, we're going to take a bunch of text messages and move on to the next topic here momentarily. Right now, we're going to take a break. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just, I mean, light. Man, saving the world one soundbite at a time. Hey, I'm looking up at the screens right now. Fox is showing that Governor Tim Walz and his wife have just arrived at the Kamala Harris speech. They are taking their seats in front of the dais. I guess they're not going to be allowed to speak. He's sitting down in the audience. Just saying. Let me get some more text messages because you guys deserve it. Y'all are part of what makes this show so good, and we appreciate you. Larry from Decatur says, Phil, the first time in history of the world, the landslide caused the flood. Nice. I like it. The landslide caused the flood. Tim from Madison says, here's a T-shirt idea. Welcome to Right Side, unburdened by what had been. We have become unburdened by what has been. Yes, I love it. Red from Tony again. He says, I've heard more new terms in the past 5 years than the rest of my life combined. Yup. Ed P. from Huntsville says, oh, it's a long one. What does he say here? Phil, the Republicans are very good at talking the talk. Now they have to walk the walk. First, there can be no unity with the Democrats until there is an accountability. The J6ers cases need to be reviewed and pardons issued as appropriate. Second, people need to answer the draconian pandemic policies. Look, I get it all, man. I'm not going to go through every one of your lists, but I agree with you. And I do hope that Trump's going to wind up issuing pardons to the Jan 6 crowd. I mean, if they got him there and they've got him on video, you know, breaking things and stuff, then they're going to have to pay some kind of price, but they probably got time served already. So I'm for that. Kamala Harris has approached the podium. She is now standing in front of the dais, smiling, just, oh, loving. Oh, it's so good. Oh, I love you all. Oh, it's wonderful. I'm clapping. Don't you know? Oh, goodness. Well, I'll be honest with you. That'd be a hard speech to give. I don't care who you are. I mean, it's like saying, hey, I lost, and I lost so huge. Like, I lost bigger than anybody's lost in, I don't know, multiple decades since Carter or something. This is like 1980 again. So she is now trying to address the crowd, and we'll see where it goes. Either way, she's overdue for this. She should have said something to him last night. She should have come out and addressed her people and said, listen, we'll have more to say tomorrow, but I love you all and thank you for what you do. It's a tough night, but we're going to see where it goes. We're not going to know until tomorrow morning. So let's all go home and get some rest and come back. But I love you and thank you. But she didn't do that. She didn't even show up.
I don't expect much substance from this speech anyways.
No. In fact, I wonder if she's going to say she's been unburdened now by what has been. Brian from Decatur says, I truly hope the Inauguration Day exposure of President Trump is kept to an extreme minimum. I'm in the belief they could skip it altogether as get to work. With all the threats on his life and state-sponsored hits that have been verified on him, that is probably one of the most dangerous times for him. I think that security will be imminently tight, but I do believe that he will do it nonetheless. That's who he is. He's the kind of guy who says, we don't change who we are and what we do because of fear of what someone says about us.
So I'm just looking at, they're panning to all these girls crying in the crowd for Kamala's speech.
I know, it's sad. it's so sad. It's hard. They're loving on each other. Doug Imhoff.
Everybody's crying.
I got news. It's the liberal tears caused by the landslide. Paul from Decatur says, any news from the rest of the world about President Trump win? Yes. In fact, I'm glad you said that. I'm going to be going into a segment next where I've got several sound clips about that very thing. Paul, I appreciate you. There have been any number of heads of state that have been chiming in on this win. And one of the best of them was Benjamin Netanyahu. And I look forward to getting to that with you next, after the next break. Brian from Huntsville's question, does a president-elect get more Secret Service protection than a former president? Security ought to be improved for not campaigning anymore. I don't know for a fact what's what. I know that he'll be given access to classified briefings and able to see things he was not able to see before so that he can walk into the job knowing things. But I will also say that he better not have increased security. He better have already had the increased security. He's a former U.S. president running for president who got shot at. And listen, I don't know, Brian, to answer your question, but I do know this. It's going to be game on. We got several new texters. Don from Hartsell, brand new in the text line, says, Phil, all of Romans 13 is a right read for all of America this day. Yes, sir. Yes, sir, it would be. Lou from, I don't know where Lou is from. Where's Lou from? Does it say? Doesn't say.
Just asked her.
All right. Thank you. I see that. Lou just texted in and says, earlier you called this a mandate. I wish it would have been one for the Repubs. Not even close. Popular vote 50-50, House 50-50, Senate about 50-50. Very good day for Repubs. Not within a million miles of a mandate. Might want to keep it a little bit real. I don't know whose data you're looking at there, dude. When you say 50-50, 50-50, 50, no, not really. In fact, the electoral vote right now is sitting at 291 to 223, with Trump winning the popular vote by a pretty good margin, and he's going to wind up having well over 300 on the electoral. And then you're looking at the fact that we just swept all the battleground states for the most part, except maybe one, and we're going to wind up taking the last couple when they finally get their act together and get their count in. And then you're looking at an increase in the House so far. And we went and raised it three seats so far in the Senate to take back control. So I don't know where you are. Oh, by the way, there's also the governor's mansions. Took a few more of those, too. Lou, tell us where you're from, man. Appreciate you. Phil Williams, Whiteside Radio. More to come. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.
And
And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one, I'm talking about this one. I mean this one right here, the one I'm sitting in, Alabama. Y'all, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. I'm swimming in text messages right now. You guys are amazing. Chris from Gadsden says all Trump has to do is be up to speed with national security, et cetera, is to have a quick conversation with President Biden. I'm pretty sure that's not a good source. Thomas from Athens says, why can Senate elect new majority leader before swearing in new members to start the new? I don't know the answer to that question. I think part of it depends upon whether or not McConnell has resigned. If McConnell resigns, then it automatically opens the need for a election. So I'm not going to be a bit surprised if McConnell's not vying for, his choice, which I think is John Thune. But we'll wait and see. Jeff Peef Mayrab says, Phil, somehow I knew Trump was going to win last night. I woke up at 12:57 just in time to watch his victory speech. It was amazing. It's time to make America great again, finally. I agree with that. And then Bordeaux from Harvest says, Phil, Kamala Ding Dong just started speaking. She came out laughing a bit. Thank God we dodged that bullet. Yeah, we listened to a little bit of it during the break, and I commented to JP, I'm so glad not to have to hear her for the next 4 years. That would have been just like fingernails on a chalkboard. John from Huntsville says, speaking of girls crying again, I just saw Tim Walz tearing up. I'm sure he did. I have no doubt. Gary from Decatur says, the best thing about this election is that in 2 months, we effectively have seen the last of Kamala Harris in politics. Yeah, I think she's toast. I'm not even sure she can get a job on The View. She literally has been the demise of the current state of Democrat politics.
Yeah, I don't know where she goes from here. I mean, you lose an embarrassing landslide like that. I don't know. Her political career could very well be over.
The only thing I could see her being able to do potentially is go back to California and run for governor when Gavin Newsom decides to go up to the big leagues.
Yeah, I'll be very interested to see what she decides to do.
We'll see. Hey, I got an audio clip I want to play. JP, I'm going to pull audio clip number 3. Let's get Chris Wallace. Chris Wallace? Yes, let's get Chris Wallace. Let's get Chris Wallace in here and tell us a little bit about what his thoughts are. And by the way, as he did this, he's on CNN. He's sitting there in a panel discussion, and he literally sucked the air out of the room by speaking a little bit of truth. Go ahead and play it.
I mean, let's talk about the significance of a Republican Senate if, and I repeat, if Donald Trump is elected president. It means that they can confirm without any Democratic votes any appointment he makes to his cabinet, to the government, to the Supreme Court, should there be a vacancy. It's an enormous advantage to a president. And at this point, we haven't talked about it much, but in the House, although that hasn't been decided yet, the Republicans have flipped 3 Democratic seats. The Democrats haven't flipped a single Republican seat. So there is the possibility here of a complete united Republican government with Donald Trump as the president and with a Republican House and Senate, which means that in terms of appointments, in terms of immigration policy, economic policy, environmental policy, you name it, he could have a pretty blank check.
The rest of the panel sat there almost in stunned silence as he made these comments. And it's true. Now we're gonna likely see a retention of House majority, maybe even with a couple of seats more than what we have currently. By the way, she's already through with her concession speech. She's done. She is done. I think that was all of 6 minutes, thereabouts. She is very likely. We are very likely going to see a House majority. I'd be surprised if we don't. I think the math is heading in that direction. But the truth of the matter is, the U.S. Senate is a big deal also. While the House controls the purse strings and the House has the initial layer of what can be done in impeachment and that kind of thing, and has to pass legislation, you got to have both the House and the Senate to accomplish your objectives. The truth of the matter is, there's a lot of things that actually happen in the Senate. I saw it when I was in the state Senate. We were the confirmation body. We're the ones that approve people for key jobs on cabinets and in court systems. And that's That's an amazing thing to think that on day one, we know for a fact that Trump can get his cabinet confirmed. If one of the conservative elder justices on the Supreme Court retires or off a federal court bench retires, he can get them get a confirmation appointed to replace them. I mean, it's a huge, huge deal. And I think I'm not going to be a bit surprised if we don't see a need for the confirmation of a new justice in the first year or two of the next Trump administration. All right, I got to switch gears. We got to talk about this. What's next? What's the aftermath? What are people saying around the world? I've got an audio clip here from Trey Yinks. I'm going to call audio four. Audio clip number four, Trey Yinks reporting for Fox News from Israel, actually, had a number of comments, including Benjamin Netanyahu. And JP, just watch for me to stop this one. At some point, he changes the topic. So we'll go through his heads of state discussion and foreign policy discussion, and then we'll cut it from there. Go ahead and play it.
But first, Trey Yinks is live in Tel Aviv, Israel. Trey.
Yeah, hey, Brian, good morning. Reaction is pouring in from around the world following former President Trump's projected election victory. We do know there will be major foreign policy decisions under this new administration that will affect countries like Ukraine, Iran, Israel, and everywhere in between. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky posted to X saying, quote, "Congratulations to Donald Trump on his impressive election victory." The Ukrainian leader went on to praise Trump for his peace through strength approach to global affairs. The Emir of Qatar also posted a similar message saying, quote, "Congratulations to President-elect Donald Trump on winning the U.S. presidential election. I wish you all the best during your term and look forward to working together again." Arguably, the most notable congratulations, though, came from Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, who said, quote, "Congratulations on history's greatest comeback. Your historic return to the White House offers a new beginning for America and a powerful recommitment to the great alliance between Israel and America. This is a huge victory." Overnight, Prime Minister Netanyahu fired his defense minister, Yoav Gallant, sparking massive demonstrations across Israel.
All right, let's go ahead and stop it there. That's so you're hearing world leaders. I think there's two that come into play right away. Volodymyr Zelensky, what's going to happen with Ukraine? Well, Zelensky's making nice, and he better, because right now he's going to have a hard time sustaining some of the, at the very least, the logistics of the war with Russia. And the idea that we have had a blank check to him over time has been really a point of contention. Foreign policy should never be a blank check. Foreign policy should always have a goal and objective, and it should have the interests of the United States firmly in hand. And I don't know that we've been able to see that. The Biden administration has had no plan on Ukraine except a blank check. The other thing that we just saw, though, was Benjamin Netanyahu, who, you know, when he was here in the United States, he went and met. Well, I take it back. Zelensky did also. They both went and met with Trump while he was campaigning. Benjamin Netanyahu, though, made very clear this is a big deal, and he enjoys it. And I think for good reason. All right, listen, we got plenty more. Let me get a few text messages here real quick. The parts guy from Albertville, he says, "Did you see Jill Biden's tribute to Harry?" I did. Did you see this, JP? You did not see it?
I did not see this, no.
Jill Biden. So I won't steal a parts guy's text, but he's right. He says, "Did you see Jill Biden's tribute to Harris, her red outfit," all caps, "that she wore to vote in?" It said, "Opponents trade colors, LOL." Said, "I think before Trump pardons Hunter, he needs to negotiate a personal pardon from Joe, like the Dems did to force him out of the race." So yeah, if you didn't see this, Jill Biden went to the polls yesterday, knowing full well it was going to be a photo op, wearing a bright red suit.
Mm-hmm.
That, first of all, red's the color of the Republicans,
yeah,
but red is often too known as the color of the Republican women. They wear red jackets when they have their gatherings. Listen, nobody thinks for a second that was accidental.
Yeah, that's a little bit too big of a gaffe to be accidental.
Yeah.
I saw a funny video, too, of, you know, had a video of a text that said, "Oh, no, Kamala lost by 1 point or one vote. Who didn't vote for Kamala?" And it was a video of just Joe Biden turning around and smiling.
wearing that MAGA hat.
Yeah.
JT Lacey Spring says, "Kamala may get that McDonald's job yet." Nice. Lewis from Birmingham says, Kamala, day before the election. If we don't win, there won't be another election day after losing. We will continue to fight by voting. Which is it? She just gave her speech. Lasted about probably 7 minutes. But she told her crowd, we must accept the election results. Well, good for her. And after excoriating anybody who dared to question the 2020 election now for the last 4 years, she better say that, because she knows she's boxed herself in. She can't say anything but that. You know, it's also interesting, too, is you know who's going to have to certify the vote on the floor of the Senate?
Yeah, it's going to be Kamala.
It's going to be Kamala Harris.
Oh, God. Yikes.
That's like layers of pain. Jim from Athens says, I think Harris is relieved she lost. I feel like she knew she wasn't up to the task. You know what, Jim, you say that, and I hear it, but I don't know that she did know that. I don't know that she thought that for a second. I think that she thought it was her right. I think that she thought that she was the glass ceiling breaker that would take it all to a new level of wokeness. I think that she thought that Joe stepped aside for me. It's my turn. And I don't think she was ready at all. I don't think she ever would. I don't think she could be ready, to be honest with you.
Well, that's assuming the Democratic Party actually cares about competence. You know, they prefer a kakistocracy. That's what they prefer.
You have learned the vernacular in your short time with Right Side Radio, man. Yeah. Kakistocracy, a government run by the least competent of its citizens. Jimmy from Del Rose, Tennessee, says maybe Kamala will get a job on The View because she doesn't have a view like everyone else on The View. Nice. And then brand new in the text lines, Lou from Hartzell. Oh, that's right. We got him now. Lou.
Yeah, so he said to his text earlier that he was glad that it wasn't a 50-50 close. So he actually was agreeing with you. Said that, you know, he's glad that it wasn't a mandate and that it wasn't 50-50, you know, for the popular vote, Senate and House. And so a very good day for the Repubs.
Well, I'm reading back over it, and I realize that if you change the tone of your voice, you can almost find a different meaning in the way you texted it. All right. So, Lou, welcome to the text lines. We're glad you're there. Hey, right before we go to the break, let me just tell you guys all, we got a brand new thing. Every single day, we're sending out an email update called the Right Side Report. Gives you news about the show, things that Right Side Media's got going on, tells you about our latest podcasts, and links to things that we've got available for you. And only way, I mean, there's a quick way to get signed up for it. Just right now, these text lines that we're on, 833-68-RIGHT, that's 833-687-4448, just text the single word newsletter. It's all one word, newsletter. You text that one word newsletter, it will send you a link to sign up. We'd love to get you in there for the Right Side Report. A bunch of folks signed up today already. So text the word newsletter to 833-68-RIGHT. Get that invitation to link into the Right Side Report, and we'll get it in your inbox every single morning. All right, take me to a break there, JP. We'll take that. We'll come back. We'll put a lid on some of this, and then we'll head to the Grand Council coming up at top of the hour. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower. Hey, don't forget, coming up top of the hour, we will have the Grand Council. It'll be a substitute today. It's going to be, Yaffe's coming in for Dale Jackson. So it'll be Jeff Poor, Yaffe, and myself, Grand Council, 4 o'clock. Stand by for that. A reminder, too, the latest edition of the video podcasts that we have here at Right Side came out today at 11, The Right Philosophy. The Right Philosophy video podcast is up right now. You can find it on YouTube and on our website at rightsidemedia.org. So check those out. I got an audio clip I want to play. So let me call audio clip number 5. You good on that one, JP? All right. So listen, this is Kevin O'Leary. He's a Shark Tank guy, right? Kevin O'Leary on Fox. He's a Shark Tank guy, but he's an investor, and he's talking about what should Democrats do now in terms of who's been in charge. Because think about this: if you run a company into the ground, you should lose your job, right? If you run an army into the ground, you should be relieved of your command. What happens when you run your political party completely into the ground with the biggest loss since, 40 years ago? Well, he talks about that. Go ahead and play clip 5.
How do you read this?
I'm going to stay on this theme for a moment and call this perhaps the greatest night the Democratic Party can ever have if they lose. And let me explain that. I was very troubled just over 100 days ago when they circumvented the democratic process and anointed somebody. The analogy is easy to a Super Bowl. You arrive at the Super Bowl game, and by any measure, this is the Super Bowl of global politics, a presidential race. Your quarterback, Biden, is injured. He's taken out of the game. You don't bring a quarterback in that's never, ever, ever won any game anywhere. You run a process.
Got a point.
And they missed that opportunity. This is a chance for them to, I'm not saying they're going to lose, but I'm going to those percentages and saying they get to reboot. They get to go back to the center. They get to scratch this whole thing and the influences
Pause of. It. Pause it right there. He makes a great point. I mean, this is something that I'm wondering what the scapegoat's going to be. Well, the scapegoat is going to, if they're honest, the scapegoat is going to be everything about the way they handled their candidacies. They had a flawed man in Joe Biden. They had a flawed follow-up when they anointed Kamala Harris, who had never won a vote to be in the position she was in, ever. Had never led anything. Had never finished a primary. I mean, think about it. She did not even finish the primary when she was running for president herself. She dropped out. She didn't. It's awful. He makes a great point. But let's talk about where it's going now, because he says this could be a good thing for the Democrat Party. What does that mean? Play it.
Of a Schumer or a Pelosi or a movie star or an Obama deciding to anoint somebody, those guys are gone in 4 years. They won't have that kind of influence. This could be great for America because I'm an investor. I have to work with who's ever in the White House in January. But I care about policy. And when I hear policies coming out of a party that are so twisted against the American way of life, like basically taxing capital gains that are unrealized, that's not America. Or price controls, that's not America. 28% tax rate takes us to the bottom quartile of competition. That's bad. We can't do that. That would hurt the country. And all I do is work with entrepreneurs that want to build businesses. There's a reason people come here under barbed wire and drown in rivers to get into America. It's the American dream.
Stop.
It's the.
His point is well made. His point is the only way the Democrat Party really comes out of this with any kind of a heads up play is if they recognize where they screwed up and they realize that they allowed themselves to get so pulled so far to the progressive left with flawed candidates that did not have any business running for office and did not dynamically enthuse much of anybody on the national stage and do a self-correction. You know, me personally, I hope they don't. Then again, Pelosi, Schumer, he says they're gone. They probably need to be gone. Interesting points. All right, coming up next, we're going to do some Grand Council. Jeff Poor, Yaffe, and myself. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, and oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Welcome to hour number three on Hump Day. Some are calling it Trump Day. It is the middle of the week, and you know what that means. We got a thing we do we call the Grand Council, where I bring in two of my brethren that do talk radio elsewhere. Been doing it longer than me, actually. And we ping each other with questions and just see where the chips fall. Got a little change in the lineup today, so I will just call the roll real quickly. From 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Cumulus Broadcasting out of Huntsville, host of the Yaffe program, and also writes for Yellowhammer News. Yaffe, are you present?
I am here.
You are indeed. Thank you for subbing in, my friend. I appreciate it. All right.
Sure.
Also, looking southward towards Mobile, host of the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5 and the editor-in-chief for 1819 News. Jeff Poor, are you present?
I am present.
You are indeed. Glad of it. All right. I pronounce a quorum. Hit it, man.
Assemble the Grand Council.
Ba-da. All right. I don't know about y'all, but I am fueled up on caffeine today. Just real quick, not a serious question for the actual council, but did you guys stay up and watch the results come in until it was done? Jeff, what about you? Did you?
3 a.m.
3 a.m., bro. What about you, Yaff?
Yeah, I don't know if it was quite 3 a.m., but I tried to go to bed, and then I was like, nope, I got to stay up. So I basically was up.
You couldn't do it. We're political junkies. All right, first round, yeah. First real question. Jeff Poore, pray tell, what do you have for us?
What, if anything, could a Kamala Harris have done differently? Was this just destiny?
That's a loaded question. What could she have done differently? She could not have run. I don't know. She's a flawed candidate, and she came in on the heels of a very flawed presidency over which she had been the vice president. I don't know what else she could have done except, I'll say this, picking a different vice presidential running mate. I think that one of the worst things she did for her race was pick Tim Walz. She could have had Josh Shapiro, and that might have been a game changer for Pennsylvania, which could have been a game changer for everything. So I can't help but think that that's the big one, my thoughts. But what do you think, Yaff?
I think she probably could have either admitted some of the mistakes of the Biden administration.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Or at least talked about what she would do differently. Every time, I mean, she would try to portray herself as the change candidate, but no one could really define what that meant, and she wouldn't define what that meant because she tried to say that while also saying she's experienced because she was Biden's VP and they did a lot of good stuff. So I think it might have been a little more effective if she could have at least said, look, I'm going to change it this way and this way.
Well, that requires self-reflection and humility, and I didn't see any of that in her, so I don't know if that could
have. Yeah, that's for real, yeah.
All right, well, your own question then, Jeff. What would you think she would have done differently?
I mean, yeah, obviously there's much to be desired from her candidacy. I just think she never was fully engaged. But, like, I asked that question only to say this. I think she just put it in a hard spot, and I kind of feel – I shouldn't, but I feel bad for her because, This was not a winnable race for her, and the people that did this, that took Biden off the ticket and didn't just take the L, did it to her. And she's, like I said, whether she brought on herself, she's never going to get a fair shot at the presidency.
I think her career's in the tank too. I mean, I think that's one of the things.
It's over.
I think she's done with politics. The best she can hope for is for Whoopi Goldberg to resign from The View and they give her the slot.
She's a former vice president. She'll make money in the speaking circuit. I mean, she's going to be a wealthy woman coming out of this. But you never got a real true shot at being president of the United States. And a lot of that's because of the way you handled it.
It's the way her power brokers and her party handled it. I mean, they boned this thing in a big way. It's been awful from day one. The way they handled Biden. I mean, I'll go back on something you just said, Jeff. Here's the caveat. Had they looked at Joe Biden back in the day and said, Joe, you're not going to run for a second term, and he had decided not to run and said, Kamala Harris, she would have had all the time to run. She would have had the time to prove herself, and it would have looked far more complete. But they didn't do that. They had to try and keep the illusion going until they couldn't keep the illusion going, and I think that was the downfall. Anyway, all right, I'll tell you what. Yaffe Young, a pitch to you. Next question. What do you got?
Can the Republican Party ride Trump's coattails in the next election? Is this about Trump or is this about the Republican Party, this victory?
Wow. All right, we're already looking forward to 2028. I don't want to look forward to 2028. I want to be done for a while. No. I mean, geez. It's a yes and a yes. So I do believe that what Trump does with this in the first 2 years is going to be indicative of whether it was just Trump or whether we're going to see a reshaping of the Republican political landscape. Because if he puts himself if he puts the team in that it looks like he could put in, if he brings in people who are true reformers and willing to actually work and buck the system, and the change that the grassroots voted for him to pursue is actually pursued successfully, especially, I think then we're seeing that it's a new Republican day. If we wind up seeing more of the kind of McConnell in the background sabotage, and the Republicans don't really get the job done, and they're allowed to do more like John McCain thumbs down kind of stuff, then I think at that point, it was proven that the Republicans weren't really on board all the way. Jeff, chime in.
Yeah, I'm looking at 26. Remember what happened at 18, Senator? the every Republican in Alabama in that midterm was running who could be the Trumpiest. Remember the one that always sticks out in my head is the Twinkle Kavanaugh ad, which he's running for lieutenant governor.
Yeah.
And it was like her and Trump separated at birth. It was like brother, sister. It was weird, right? I don't think that works. I think 26 is a Republican bloodbath. The map in the Senate is going to be very Democrat. And just based on historic precedent, there's going to be a backlash. Democrats ought to do well in 26. So for that reason, and I assume we're talking about 26, but even 28 by some extension, I don't think running on Trump would be the way to winning an election. Just it's going to be the cycle, and it's just a product of what we got to deal with then.
All right, it's your own question, Yaffe. What are you thinking?
I think a lot of it actually depends on what the Democrat Party does. If the Democrat Party decides to learn their lesson and moderate, then Republicans will be in trouble without Trump. But if the Democrat Party just decides to go even further to the left, all the Republican Party has to do, all the Republican Party has to do in response is just not be the radical left. So that would be my current take. But I do think they would have a little bit of trouble. There's sort of a celebrity factor with Trump that turns out the vote in presidential elections.
Yeah.
And I don't know what would happen in the next presidential election. It would take maybe a J.D. Vance or something being a part of Trump to do that.
Well, yeah, more to come on that one. I'll tell you what, with just about 2 or 3 minutes left, let me jump in there with one question. I'm gonna try to make it kind of an easy one here because we got time. But so Trump takes office, and I think everybody agrees he has to get busy. He has to get busy pretty quick. And some of the things that are going to be needed to make the agenda work have to happen within the first 2 years because of that midterm coming up. So what's the first executive order? What's the very first executive order? And I'm not talking about congressional action and everything. I'd say what's the first executive order that you perceive like being on the desk waiting for him when he takes office? Jeff?
I think the border. Yep. I think, that's the easiest. You close the border and say, we're closing the border until we figure this out. It may take a few days, a week, or whatever, but you gotta revamp the border policy, and I think you just kind of start anew.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, I think it's a border executive order. I think he comes in and repudiates a lot of what's happened. I think he mandates that Remain in Mexico is put back in place, and I think he picks up the phone and calls the president of Mexico and says, guess what's about to happen? Yaffe, you weigh in. What do you think? First executive order.
I actually think it might be opening up more energy exploration, only because that's what he said. You know, the left took him out of context when he said he would be a dictator on day one. But he was saying, no, I'd be a dictator for one day, and that would be to drill, baby, drill. So he said, close the door and drill, close the border and drill, baby, drill. So I could see an executive order on that.
Okay. Well, and you know what? I'm not going to be surprised. Suddenly the Keystone Pipeline is back on, and oil industry jobs are looking cool. All right, round one of the alternate lineup for the Grand Council. We're going to take a break right now. We'll come right back. I'm with Yaffe and with Jeff Poor and just little old me. You guys stay tuned. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Pulling pins on truth grenades today. Let me go right back to the Grand Council with Jeff Poor and Yaffe sitting in for Dale Jackson today. So, Jeff Rowe Poor, first question, second round, what do you got?
In 2016, about this time, there was a little bit of introspection, but by Monday, it was Russia collusion narrative. When we talk about introspection and this time around, how long does this last? Do things really change, or is it just let's rationalize this some other way?
What are you asking? Are you saying that there's going to be like the big attack?
Another Russia
mode?
Collusion, or is it, yeah, hey, is the Democratic Party going to learn from this?
No, I don't think they're going to learn from it. In fact, it's kind of like this is almost like the question I was going to ask in a minute, too, is what should we watch out for? What is the thing that they're going to do to try and, you know, lay a few landmines in the path, if you will. And I really think that what we have to watch out for, number one, I think we have to watch out for Trump's personal safety. I really do right now. I think that's a given, but at the same time, it's more urgent than ever. And then I think the other thing we really have to do, though, is we have to watch out for the deep state that's going to start putting bureaucratic landmines in place to try and make sure that he can't get the things done that he wants to get done. I'm not sure I can put my finger on what that is, but I really think what they're going to do is they're going to try and stage things so that he has a harder time untying the Gordian knot. That's why he's going to have to come in with a sword and just cut that bad boy. Yaffe?
Yeah, and by the way, if you hear noise in the background, that's my little girl. I got home, and my wife's like, oh, I have choir practice, so you got to babysit. So I'm doing grand council while babysitting.
Well, that's awesome.
Okay.
That is awesome.
but I don't think they're going to learn. And Mayslip, and I think this is true of the Democratic Party, and I think it's true of the mainstream media. Because what I think we're going to hear for 4 years is that the country's racist. That's why this happened. We're racist, we're sexist, and we actually need more DEI because this is proof of the systemic racism that still exists in our country. That's what I think we're going to hear, and it's going to be exhausting and annoying, and they'll lose elections because of it, but that's what I think, at least from the mainstream media, that's what we'll hear.
Jeff, your own question. What are you doing?
Yeah, I'm interested you say that, Yaffe, because Joey Clark and I are talking about that in the media today, and will they learn their lesson and will they change their ways? I think the marketplace is going to tell them that this doesn't work anymore. This is the Joe Rogan election, right? You're not going to be able to force the DEI stuff down our throat because people, when you start doing that, people will just tune you out and they'll go elsewhere. And, I guess the question, I don't know the answer to this, is if it's a matter of survival, they'll have to do the introspection and change their ways. And if they don't, they'll just be a footnote in history.
All right. Well, but caveat off that, who's the common sense leader in the Democrat Party that's going to lead that charge for self-reflection? Who is it?
I mean, just a leader in the Democratic Party at all. Yeah, Senator is a good question, right? Like who is it?
Exactly.
Who's the new leader? And I think it's got to be one of these governors from one of these swing states, one of these purple state governors that have a D next to their name. It's not going to be Nancy Pelosi. It's not going to be Hakeem Jeffries or Chuck Schumer or anybody like that. They got to do what Clinton was able to do in '92. And either that or just facing more election losses.
No, I agree. I mean, I think it's going to have to be, and that's the only people I can think of, is the ones that are not in D.C. right now but have standing in the party. It's going to be like a Josh Shapiro again or somebody of that you know, that sort of that stripe. I cannot imagine that we're going to ever see Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, or any of the hacks like Bernie Sanders and AOC and some of the others ever try to moderate who they are. That's off brand. I don't think we're going to ever see, you know, some of those knuckleheads ever change their ilk. But I do believe that there's a possibility of someone rising and bringing a clarion call to some measure of correctness. But even that's going to be a fight. It's going to be a knuckle dragger. Whose turn was it? Was that Yaffe's question? Was that my? Did I ask a question?
It was Jeff's question.
Wow. Okay. I think I just spun right off of Jeff's question, so I'll go ahead and throw it to you, Yaff.
All right. Well, I mean, we're talking about leadership. Who's going to be the Republican majority leader in the Senate? Well, first, who do you think it will be, and who do you want it to be?
Jeff, you go first.
I think just because Republicans had such a good election in the Senate, I don't think it's going to be like a John Cornyn or Thune. Rick Scott's got a shot all of a sudden. Yeah. I think he's a name to watch. But I think beyond that is kind of silly to think it's going to be anybody really that's not at least able to raise money for the cause. Like I said, they got a tough map at 26. So whoever can promise the most goodies to keep these people in office is going to win that spot.
Yeah, I'm thinking right now. I'm going to throw out three names. One of which you already mentioned. I mean, I'm not for Thune. I'm not for another McConnell handpick. But I do think that either Rick Scott, Ted Cruz, or Marco Rubio could be a Senate leader that people could get behind. We'll see. I mean, I don't know. I think Rubio is super sharp. Although, I'll be honest with you, it's going to be interesting to see who goes in the cabinet. And if he takes a senator, it's going to have to be somebody from a conservative state so a conservative governor can reappoint their replacement. But I could see leadership come from Rick Scott, Ted Cruz, or Rubio. Your own thoughts, though. What are you thinking?
Yeah, I'm glad you said Rubio because he came to my mind. I tend to think it's either going to be a John Thune or a Rick Scott. I would love to see, though, like a Rubio or a Tim Scott or somebody like that be able to really kind of really take the reins and, like, I don't know, put some energy into the party in the Senate.
Well, we'll see where it goes, fellas. But right now, where it goes is we're out of time. So appreciate both of you. Yaffe, thanks for sitting in for Dale Jackson. Jeff Poor, appreciate you as always, man. And thanks for calling in last night. All said and done, the Grand Council, Jeff Poor, FM Talk 106.5, host of the Jeff Poor Show, and, oh, by the way, 1819 News. And then our own guy, Yaffe, host of the Yaffe program, 9 to 11, 770 AM, 92.5 FM out of Huntsville, and also writes for Yellowhammer. And just little old me, the Grand Council. All right, you guys, stay tuned. We're into the Go Home Half Hour. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. I do mean it when I say it. I am talking about Alabama. Y'all, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. And by the way, I got to tell you guys, so the Grand Council we just did, sponsored for you every week by Inspire Advisors. Inspire Advisors, I mean, these folks are so cool. The folks at Inspire Advisors, Paul Breyer and his team, they are experts at helping you to raise the bottom line on your investments while also making sure that you're not, you know, investing in things that are absolutely contrary to your personal beliefs. They call it biblically responsible investing. It's a real thing. BRI, biblically responsible investing. If you want to know more about it, well, they're not only there to assist you and take your calls and meet with you one-on-one in person, they're also holding classes right now. They just had one in October, had a great turnout for that one. They've got another one coming up in about a week or so in November here. And listen, at those classes, they will teach you how to identify those things that might be embedded in your investments that you would never want your money going to. At the same time, helping you to find biblically aligned alternatives. So if you'd like to know more about BRI, if you'd like to become an investor that can literally invest outside the wokeness and outside the anti-Christian stuff that is so prevalent in our market, then Inspire Advisors is where you need to go. Paul Breyer and his team are waiting to talk to you. And if you want to be in that class, space is limited, so you got to sign up. Here's how you do it. Go to their website. That's www.moneypatternwealth.com. That's moneypatternwealth.com. Sign up for the class. Ask for a meeting. Find out more about what they do. Inspire Advisors, Paul Breyer and all his crew. Check it out. moneypatternwealth.com. And they are the sponsors of the Grand Council. I got several text messages that just came jamming. This has been, this may have been the text day of the year.
I was about to say, I don't think it's several. I think it's a lot, a ton.
Like, let me scroll down real quick. Holy cow. It just keeps going. I scroll. Listen, you guys are amazing. By the way, y'all are what makes this show awesome. JP and I can sit here and talk into a can every day, and what difference does it make if y'all aren't out there? And the fact that y'all text in, call in, just engage the show all the time is huge. I mean, our metrics popped up big last night doing the live stream. So we appreciate y'all. David from Huntsville says, Marco Rubio is the best communicator. Rick Scott would be good too. Said, I don't think Ted Cruz has the management or the leadership for the job, but he's great at what he does. All right, fair enough. We'll see what happens. Gary from Hartselle, Alabama says, hang on a second. He had the wrong number for a while. he'd been trying to reach us at some point. But he says, I was thinking all three, but it's for your answer for turtlenecks replacement. Oh, yeah, turtleneck. That's McConnell. It says Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio, and Tim Scott. I like Tim Scott. I don't know whether Tim's the guy for the job or not. In fact, I can't help but wonder if Tim Scott might not be, you know, looking for another gig in the administration. Here's the thing, though. We got to watch these cabinet choices from the House and Senate because they have to be replaced. They affect the majority that we have. So, for instance, if we had a Marco Rubio, we can rest assured that Ron DeSantis, as the Republican conservative governor of Florida, would appoint his replacement without any trouble. And I believe, it depends on the state law, you also have to look at where they are in relation to their election. My recollection for Alabama law is that if they are within 2 years of their next election, then you just wait for the special election to take place. Or I take it back. Hang on a second. Maybe you appoint. Yeah, that's right. If you're before the halfway point of a term, they run a special election. If you're past the halfway point, the governor can appoint. It just depends on the state law.
Oh, we're talking about Senate Majority Leader, right, for the Republican side?
Or? I'm talking about cabinet positions.
Cabinet positions.
Yeah,
okay.
if we nab somebody out of the House or the Senate for a job in the cabinet,
yeah,
it makes sense until you realize it affects the majority. So you got
to
be careful.
But in terms of McConnell's replacement, or if now that we have majority of the Senate, looks like maybe Tuberville be a good Senate Majority Leader, possibly.
Ooh, that'd be awesome.
Yeah,
I could live with that. I did hear Katie Britt last night on our live stream. I said something about I look forward to you being allowed to serve in the majority, mm-hmm. and she said yes with a gavel in my hand.
Yeah.
So she's already staring at a committee chairmanship. I can tell you right now. All right, several other things. I gotta run this out there. Let's don't forget that there are some within the Republican network that are not fan favorites of Trump or those who are aligned with the Trump team. To me, one of the things that I think we have to watch out for is the Never Trumpers finding a way to sabotage the presidency. And don't think they wouldn't do it. I was watching some of them on social media today, and they are filled with vitriol as bad or worse than some of the Democrats, claiming to be Republicans while claiming that they are just appalled and shocked and dismayed. And I mean, like, for instance, I'm not confident in Mitch McConnell. He came out and said some good things today. I get it. I'm glad. He's also, 80, 81 years old? Keep in mind that Mitch McConnell, if we have a narrow majority in the Senate, and Mitch McConnell decides, I believe it's finally time for me to go find out if I have grandkids that I care about.
That's a great impression.
I never actually promised you a Senate majority. And decides to go to the House. Guess what? It's a Democrat governor named Beshear in Kentucky that would appoint the replacement. So that being said, let's not keep all of our focus on what the Democrats are going to do to the Trump presidency.
Yes, sir.
Let's make sure that we don't have any turncoats within the Republican side that are going to sabotage the Trump presidency. More to come on that. We'll keep our eyes open, but accountability is going to be a huge deal. John C. from Madison says, no, there should be a place for Tulsi Gabbard also. I didn't say there wasn't. I'm for that. I think she's earned it. I don't think she's a real conservative, but I don't think that she's a true danger. And depending upon what position she's in, I mean, she might make a great UN ambassador like Nikki Haley had been. She might make like RFK. RFK is going to probably be somewhere in HHS, doing things, and rightfully so. But that's also a place where we could see some things fixed. But we don't have to worry necessarily about what's being torn apart or undermined or, enacting policy without the boss say so.
So I have a question related to that a little bit. With the shift we see of the left becoming so radically left and the Republican Party starting to encompass more of the moderates, are you concerned that the Republican Party will start to ditch some conservative values because there's a lot more moderates joining the party? Which has the party becoming more moderate has a lot of positives. Obviously, Elon Musk's and the Tulsi Gabbard's, RFK Jr.'s joining the party now, that has a lot of positives. But in the grand scheme of things, are you concerned the Republicans will start to forfeit some of their conservative values with those people joining?
Yes and no. Yes and no. I am concerned that Elon Musk. Let's not kid ourselves. Elon Musk, RFK, and Tulsi Gabbard are not conservatives.
Mm-hmm.
They're just not,
and they don't claim to be either.
Yeah, they don't claim to be. They are on the topics that we have grown to love them for. Elon Musk on the First Amendment is bang on, man.
Yeah.
He is absolutely bang on where I would hope he would be. But I think he's also not exactly a conservative in the broad sense. I wouldn't want him in charge of all policy.
Yeah.
Do I think there's a place for him, a role for him? Yes. confined to the things that do not diminish the overall platform, I think there is. Same with RFK. I don't think RFK is an environmentalist. He's a green activist in some ways. I don't think that we need him in a place where he could gerrymander the policy positions on things that he cares about that most Republicans don't. But put him in a place where we align, I say go to work, man. He's a reformer. Is it going to water things down overall? That's where the base comes in. That's where we have to say, not this, but do that.
Yeah.
Don't you do that. We didn't elect you. There's going to have to be some compartmentalization. Thank you very much. If we can compartmentalize, then there's no reason why good people can't work together. Because I think Tulsi Gabbard is a good person. She's just not aligned with everything that I believe in and that most of the base believes in.
It's funny, too. You know, RFK is a big climate change guy, and pretty much he's against a lot of the oil, you know, how they go about drilling oil. And it's funny, Trump has mentioned this before, but he mentioned it in the speech last night of, you know, I'm going to let him go hard on the health stuff, but stay away from the liquid gold. Stay away. That is my job.
I got a call on the line. Let me grab it real quick. Wolverine Dan's on the line. Hey, buddy, how you doing?
Well, I'm doing quite well. I'm not going to call the show here just to gloat. I'm not that guy, okay? But I'm confused on a couple of things, and some I'm not. The one thing that does confuse me, they keep saying that, you know, he's going to be a dictator and whatnot. I'm speaking of President Trump.
Right.
But he wasn't when he was President 45, okay? So I know where what they're saying right there. They're just trying to keep their base stirred up and maybe say things that are not true about this president. I think he's going to really, really shine, because I really think that he's going to have the control of the House and the Senate. And if that's the case, then he's going to be able to move his agenda, which is actually for the people, by the people. And we know where that is written in the Constitution. So for me, I think we're going to do just fine. We got to stay the course. We celebrated last night, so now it's time to roll the sleeves up, Phil.
Yep.
And you know how I am. Let's do the work. Work is good. There's nothing wrong with work. And let's get our hands dirty, get in there, and let's fix things, make it right for all of us in this country, not just the ones that voted for President Trump. Everyone. Let's make it right for everyone and unite this country by your deeds, not what you say. That is the difference between the person that was running for president of the Democratic Party. She said she didn't do deeds. President Trump did deeds. That's the difference. And when the deeds are done, we're going to be just fine.
Fair enough. Wolverine Dan, appreciate you, man, as always. Got to run to a break, brother. See ya. Take me to a break, JP. We'll do that. Last break of the day on the hump day, Trump day. Oh, man, yeah. And I'll tell you, as we're going out, I think that one of the things, something Wolverine Dan said just made me think this. I think what you're also going to see is that there's a different level of statesmanlike maturity out of Trump. I expect that. I see it in him. I also think, though, that he's got plenty of reasons to be mad. And so I'm hoping that he's got good advisors who will keep him calm and moving forward. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower. Hey, let me remind you guys of two things here at Right Side. We got all kinds of stuff that's just growing as we speak. But if you would like to get the daily email report that's just started going out, the number that you text into the show on all the time, 833-68-RIGHT, that's 833-687-4448. Otherwise known as 833-68-RIGHT. All you got to do is text the word newsletter. It's one word, newsletter, to that number, and it will send you a link that you can sign up for. The daily Right Side report. We'll send it right to you. I'd love to get you guys in the loop on that. And that daily Right Side report goes out every morning, usually between what, 8 and 9. Thereabouts?
Yeah, around there, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, check it out. Send the word newsletter to 833-687-4448. And then the other thing is the latest edition of the video podcast, Right Philosophy, came out today at 11. You can find it on YouTube. You can find it on our website, rightsidemedia.org. So check it out. That's the Right Philosophy video podcast. JT Lacey Springs texted in. He says, question of what if? Biden resigns or steps away due to health. Kamala sworn in. Will she be 47 or 48? Or Trump become 48? I don't know the answer to that. That's an interesting point.
I hope we don't have to find that out.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I had somebody actually, may have actually texted the show. I don't recall where it was, but I think it was texting the show that said they're hearing fears that the 25th Amendment is now going to be invoked so that Kamala will have a few months to really mess things up. And I'm thinking they can mess them up now if they want to. All they got to do is say, here, Joe, sign this piece of paper. That's all they got to do. So I really don't think they need Kamala to suddenly be the president, because that would also, by the way, fully expose. The only way they could do that would be to fully expose what's been happening with Joe. And they're not going to do that. Flip from Decatur just texted in. He says, where'd he go? He said, we need Candace Owens for press secretary. She would tear the media apart. I'm almost pretty sure there'd be blood on the floor if Candace Owens was the media, the press secretary. I just don't know. John from Huntsville, a little rough on the grades today. John from Huntsville says, Phil, you only get a regular A because I don't think you understand how important RFK Jr. is to the Republican Party. Okay. And what he actually did to help Trump win. I don't know why you think that about me, John, but okay. He said, I'll explain more tomorrow. He said, so today's winner is obviously JP with a perfect A triple plus. Congratulations. And now that Kamala's officially conceded, I can now say I'm so happy that Donald Trump's our 47th president. John's feeling a little saucy today somewhere. I don't know what's going on. Dustin from Hazel Green says she would become, going back to that question from was it who asked that question?
JT.
JT did. About what happens if Kamala gets sworn in at the last minute. She would become 47 because she'd take the oath, unlike if he had surgery and she was acting president. So in that scenario, Trump in history would be known as 48. He had to change all those monogrammed hats he has.
Yeah, that would be petty of them to do that.
That would be weird. Danny from Pinhook, Alabama says, I wonder how Maxine Waters is doing. Bless her heart. Yeah, I know it. You know what? Maxine, how does she still get by in life? I don't even know. It's sad to watch someone who is still holding office, and you look at them and go, why? Why are you there? Dorothy from Elkmont says, didn't someone on The View say they'd go to Canada if Trump won? I think the whole crew would probably go to Canada.
And, hey, I'll pack your bags for you.
That's exactly
see you
right.
Later.
We'll escort you. We'll be your Uber all the way to the plane. It's going to be awesome. Enjoy the cold weather. Bring a jacket. Bruce from Springville says, time to go rhino hunting. Oh, I hear you. Mike from Huntsville says, is Nikki Haley going to be in the administration? I doubt it.
Yeah.
I doubt it. I don't think so. I think Nikki Haley is going to wind up having a gig at some big giant think tank or, an advisor to this board or that. I think Nikki Haley is going to sort of fade away now, to be honest.
We talk about rhino.
Yeah.
Like she would classify for that. And, you know, she stayed in the primary for a long time. And, you look who funded a lot of her campaigns. It's a lot of the stuff, that help with rhinos.
BlackRock's going to put her on a board somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You talk about a warmonger, too. I would be happy if she was not in the administration.
No doubt. Jeff from Indiana says, Phil, Kamala Harris is one of the luckiest people on the planet. Huge for someone with as low likability and intelligence as she has to have all the high position jobs and even the vice presidency as she has is completely amazing. Fair enough. Badger from Athens, I missed this one earlier. He says, has Trump made any mention or plan to refill or expand strategic oil reserves? I don't know if he has, but I know that he will. Let's put it that way. Last couple, and then we're heading to the House. JT Lacey Springs says, I'm excited what Musk's going to do. I am too. And I'm curious what he's going to do, how he's going to do it. He's going to be a czar in some form, I think.
Trump said something about a government efficiency commission.
Yes.
Cut the fat.
Yeah, he's going to be an advisor in that regard. He's not going to leave his paying gig, but I think it's very likely that he will be sort of like a czar, like an outside senior advisor kind of thing. And then Susan from Elkmont says, we might have a bigger margin in the Senate if McConnell would not cherry pick who he gives money to. Yes, and that's why I'm ready for McConnell to be replaced by somebody who cares about actually getting a majority. All right, you guys, man, what a day. Man, what a night. Man, what a day. I am jacked up on caffeine, but I made it through the show. You guys are an awesome audience. We love you more than you could possibly know or understand. You are appreciated. I am saying appreciated to the nth degree. And listen, Don't forget, there are indeed more of us than there are of them. God is still on his throne. Stay in the fight. We'll see you tomorrow.